Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey, hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Girls, remember, if you're looking for extra content, we say it every episode, but we motherfucking mean it. Go sign up to X Girls. That is over on patreon.com/It Girls Podcast. It's where we host our extra content. If you're flying through the episodes, I mean, I know I subscribe to a few patrons of my favorite podcast, and it always gets to the point where you're like, you know the day it's coming out. You know Wednesday comes. It Girls is out. You binge it. It's 9 a.m. You've no more podcasts left. Guess what? There's 120 plus episodes.
And they're juicy. They start off
great.
Like, ouch. There is some good shit on there. And yeah, we have extended it to become more of like a community. So you get access to the Discord, which is like an online chat room. People are making friends. They're on Zoom calls, watching our live streams, all that kind of good stuff. They're calling in. If you watched our live stream, X-Gals only had access to the burner phone. So they were able to call in and have chats with us live on YouTube, which was so fun. And we do loads of episodes with that burner phone. So it's just more of a community. We have big things coming for the year, so we're super excited to keep on nourishing our X-Gals, and they're the real ones. So we love you so much, and thank you everyone who has signed up in the past year. Especially like lockdown really was so beneficial for us, you know, with X-Gals, just to keep us with our live streams and stuff. Just kind of kept us
fucking sane.
Yeah, feeling like we were able to interact with you all. So we also have some sexy merch. We're at home. I'm just have succumbed to the fact that I wear hoodies and joggers.
And use a tote bag. So, I mean, you think the It Girls uniform is like stocking suspenders and lingerie. It's actually not. It's a fucking hoodie and a tote bag. And guess what? I love it.
It's cozy. And it's still sexy.
Exactly. So go on over. You can get all that on our website, itgirlspodcast.com. You'll see the links. And pick up your merch, because it is sexy, it's cozy, and it's fucking snowing and freezing in Ireland right now. So the last thing you need is a bikini.
Exactly. Yes. And it's so rewearable as well, because it's just black and white. It's pretty simple. I wear mine with bike shorts.
Cute.
Which, you know, is kind of cute.
I wear mine freezing with literally anything.
Yeah, you can
constantly
wear
constantly, nonstop, all day.
All day, every day, baby. So we got a Q&A for
you
girls.
And we got a really good one this week. Thanks so much. So if you don't know, I mean, I'm sure you know, because they are like so popular. These episodes always blow the fuck up, because I mean, I guess they're wild. I mean, we're the original people taking questions like this, airing out ours and your dirty laundry. And we love, this is what like helps us all bond. But we just get the craziest questions and situations to talk about. If you have something for next month, keep an eye on our social media. We open up our Tumblr once a month where you can submit anonymous questions, and we link it. It's usually around the middle of the month. We just do them once a month. We record it and we get fucking great content. So just keep an eye on our social. It's at It Girls Podcast, and you'll be able to join in on the fun.
Yeah, it's super easy and it's anonymous, which is what makes it so juicy. Because those question boxes on Instagram, can I just say, are not anonymous.
Yeah, some they're people anonymous think when they you are. Share.
Well, yeah, when not, you share, yeah. But they are not anonymous. Like the whoever you're sending them to can read the shit. Because many times when I put up on those question boxes, I'm getting answers and I'm like, oh, hello, dumb bitch. You thought that it was anonymous.
Hi, dumb bitch.
It's like, how do you feel being a mother and drinking all the time? I'm like, oh, Cheryl underscore 125.
I know some of them. I get ones like that as well. I only did, I think it was like a true or false one a few weeks ago. And like people were sending me shit. And I was like, do you know that your full name is attached to this
question? I don't think they
do.
I don't think they know.
I guess if you don't put up a question box,
you'd never know.
You'd never fucking know. But
the
there you
go. The truth behind the box.
There's a, not our box anyway.
But yeah, but our box on Tumblr is anonymous and it's stunning. Because I actually do love seeing what the anonymous people say, because they are cheeky girlies sometimes.
Cheeky girlies. But yeah, so shall we...
I wonder how the cheeky girls are getting on.
We are the cheeky girls. You are the cheeky boys.
Remember she went out with that random politician?
Oh my God,
I know. And then they came out and they were like, we are bulimic. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. You those are fucking rakes.
Yes. Those two and Tattoo live rent free in my mind. Mm. I'm like, wow. Those are some
Tattoo were the cooler version, though.
Tattoo were so cool. But then did you see, isn't one of them like a neo-Nazi or something like that? Yeah. Or like, she's like insanely right-wing. And like,
they always have to ruin it, don't
I know.
They
like disown their gay son, I think. They had a gay son or something.
Oh, were they actually lesbians?
No. They're not lesbians, but they had a son. One of them. Oh, I don't know which one it was. I think it was the brown hair.
I thought you
one.
Meant their joined son.
No, she's gender neutral. No, I'm joking. the one with the brown hair, I think. I could be completely wrong. It's only one or the other. But one of them had like, she's like a big Putin head, basically. Okay. But like, I mean, like loads of people in Russia are, so it's really not that unusual, you know? But like, it's also like, oh, for God's sake, I hate when they, but we'll be talking about Art and the Artist later on this episode.
Yes, stay tuned, girls, for some spicy hot art talk. Music talk.
Tune into your favorite art podcast, girls.
So we're going to start off with a one that a Jenny can connect with, maybe or maybe not, but she is engaged and it's about engagement.
I'm opening my third eye and I am engaged to the question.
To the question. And I am not engaged, but I'm engaged to the question. and hopefully podcast. We get some engagement on this podcast episode.
Share it if you're listening.
Yes, to your IG, please. Throw a gif in. Tag make us. It look cute.
Tag us.
Tag us both on our actual Instagrams. Okay, I got engaged the same day as Jenny. Congratulations, hon. In public, in front of our friends. I couldn't say no and have been having panic attacks ever since. How do I get out of this without hurting everyone, you poor little pet? That's uncomfortable.
That's really, really hard. Oh, God. I mean, like, I can't. I mean, it would be very uncomfortable to be like proposed to when like it wasn't on the cards, you know what I mean? Or like if you haven't discussed it, or like,
or you don't want to marry the bastard.
Well, that's what I mean, you know, that way. Like, I think, you know, being completely like blindsided by that, I can understand why you just say yeah, because I mean, what do you say no in front of them and then you know, that way, because it's like, I mean, you can't really say no and then stay together. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, you know, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Well, no, you can. Know? I'm not saying there's no rules, but I'm just meaning that like in general, like that brings such a weird energy into the relationship, because, well, for me personally anyway, like if I'm saying no, it's because like it's just a glaring obvious fact that like we haven't communicated about this properly, like that you thought that was like the step that we were going to, you know, that way. Like, because I think that I read, I was watching something about marriage and like engagement a while ago. It could have just been on fucking TikTok. Who bloody knows in my brain these days? Probably. And they were saying that like, they're like, marriage and engagement shouldn't be something that is out of the ordinary or shocking to your relationship. It should just solidify something that's already there. So like, which is what I felt like when Evan and I got engaged, like it isn't this like huge moment in our, it's obviously like a great moment in your relationship, but it's not this like, whoa, I cannot believe it. You know, it's like, it solidifies something that was already there. Like the commitment was already there. We had already like talked about like, you know, things within our future. So when I'm thinking of someone like proposing to me, completely blindsiding me, and it's something where if I felt like it would be a no, it would just be like, whoa, like the fact that you know, not you personally, but like the fact that, you know, we're on different pages. So we're on such different pages. Because sometimes, like, I mean, maybe you haven't spoken about it, but if someone proposes and you have the commitment there and you've been living together maybe, and, you know, you've been talking about a future together and all that kind of stuff, you might not have explicitly spoken about marriage or engagement.
But if you're talking about buying a house or just, having children or whatever, you like, know, this time 5 years, I want to be here with you, whatever.
Exactly. Like, then I can understand how it could still be a shock, but a good shock. But like, I think if that shock initially is to you, just like, no, like, I don't know. I don't know how the future... It depends on why the no is there, but if it's like, I'm not spending the rest of my life with you, it's like, okay, then why waste your time? You know, that way.
So I think, okay, if we look at it, she says, in public, in front of everyone, all of their friends.
Yeah, that was always a fucking nightmare of mine.
And I'd say for a lot of people, that would be like, I mean, I don't know. Well, for me personally as well, I wouldn't want it.
Some
to
people
be,
want that.
Maybe, yeah.
Some people, yeah, I see that a lot. And I can understand why guys do it, because it is, again, like we pick up so much from like reality TV and from pop movies culture and movies. And especially in reality TV now, I feel like, because that's kind of what like is mostly on in people's households a lot of the time. It's all any reality TV show, like Vanderpump Rules. They're always fucking like, we've got all of our friends at a surprise party and then I'm going to pop it. It's like every fucking TV show. Yeah, they all do that in America now. It's like either that they have proposed like together and then they go back to a surprise party of all of our friends, which I could imagine would be fun, because when you do get engaged, you do just want to tell everyone and see you know.
But that's a nice idea. I kind of like that idea. But I think, so obviously in front of everyone, 100%, you can't say no. You just, I don't think there's really...
No, you can't.
You would need such... I mean, I'm a confident person, but I couldn't say no in that space.
I think if something serious happens, like an engagement where you're in front of everyone, like your fight or flight mode probably kicks in and you're just like, okay, yes, great, yes, you're my boy, yes, 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 yes. And I think, I'd say a lot of people say yes and then, you know, it probably comes to where you're like, why did I say yes? Because it can be so overwhelming when that happens that you're like, oh my God, yes, you forget fucking everything.
And it's like when, say, for example, when Carrie Bradshaw was proposed to by Aidenshaw, you know, she said yes. And then I think when she was like, oh, I don't know if I want this, I don't, like, I'm breaking out in a rash, I can't handle the thoughts of this. And her friends
were
like,
I wear it on my neck to keep it closer to my heart.
I know, so annoying. Bitch. Covered with all those pearls. Oh, yeah. Those Chanel pearls.
Bitch, imagine I was going around with that on my fucking necklace. Evan would be like, are you joking? I would have bought you a necklace. If that was the case.
Want to get Maui'd in the shower?
Maui'd.
Rip it off! Take it off! Remember her and Miranda went dress shopping and she'd be like, rip it off!
She broke it in hives. So gross.
So like typical Carrie, like, okay, we get it. You don't want to get married. Why do you have a rash? A
dramatic.
Chill the fuck out, hon. But, you know, she was like, when a man gets down on one knee in the middle of the street, you say yes. Like, I understand that. Like, when someone is like... proposing to you in such a, like, it's such a vulnerable space, you know, and especially if everyone's there, like, how could you, if you do and you're with this person, you love him or like him a lot, you know, and how could you be like, no, in front of all of our friends, you're down on one knee, no, you know, it's just would be an impossible thing. But however, you say yes, it doesn't mean, that's not a, like, you know, yes, you've said yes to engage, but you're not married yet. So you have, if you're stressed about it, the only person you can really talk to is your fiancé.
Yeah, and I think sooner the better.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I can understand how you might be like, maybe we'll just stay engaged for a while and just kind of see how it goes. It's like, at the end of the day, you know, we say it a lot with relationships, especially when it's a serious relationship that's like about to end. It's like, don't waste your own time, but also don't waste theirs. You know, that way, like, don't, you know, like, don't like lead someone on in the sense of like, you did, and I understand, again, not saying like, you did say yes, so why are you saying no now? Because I understand your situation completely. Yeah. I get how that was pressure, and like, look, people have second thoughts all the time, but if it is a serious second thought of yours, you, like, you know, at the end of the day, you are engaged to be married, and if you don't want to marry this guy, you do have to let him know that, because, you know,
I think she's saying here, I couldn't say no and have been having panic attacks ever since. I think that's what I would go to your boyfriend or fiance, he is your fiance, honey,
yeah,
you know, I would go and be like, look, I am so, you know, thankful and that you want to spend your life with me, and it's really overwhelming, but it's overwhelming me to the fact that I'm really like, I'm overwhelmed, I'm having panic attacks thinking about the future, thinking about like, is this right, like, you know, bring air your, you know, stresses. And
it sounded like she wanted to say no though, like, it doesn't sound like she's like engaged and then is like, But the wedding is panicking me out. It's like, she's like, I couldn't say no because everyone was there.
She couldn't say no in that little moment.
Yeah.
But like, and
but
I
what
totally,
I mean is like, you know, be honest. I think you have to be kind of honest with it as, you
but
know,
I think she should first address the panic attacks. Like that is a kind of way to like, instead of being like, I don't want to spend my life with you. What the fuck? I couldn't say no. You put me in an awkward position, like kind of blaming him.
Oh no.
I think it's much better to come from like your space of being like, I am having panic attacks. This is really like just, I can't. You know, envisioning the future is too much for me right now. I'm not able to process this and I don't think I'm ready. And I, you know, those kind of things. They're
and
okay.
Ask yourself as well, do you want to be with them? I think that's really, you know, like the deep down thought of it. As in like, okay, if you are going to come to him and like break off the engagement, like what do you, what is your resolution? Like, you know where you want the conversation to go. Like, do you want to like, maybe even to, like, you know, see where your boundaries are. Like ask yourself these questions. Like if he said to you, okay, well, what if we just stay engaged, but we're not going to get married for like, you know, you have like a 3 or 4 year plan. Does that make you feel better? If not, if it is the marriage and the staying together element, what are you doing? You know, like your life is short. And sometimes, like, as I said, your fight or flight can be like instigated or whatever. Like you could be like in the middle of your engagement, you'd be like, oh yes. But now your fight or flight is maybe being like, fucking flight, get the fuck out of there. Cause your body might be telling you like, this isn't what you want. You said yes under false pretenses, which is okay. You're able to take back something. But at the end of the day, it's like, sometimes in relationships, you can be sailing along grand and you can be thinking that you're happy as Larry, and something happens, like a commitment can come up that you both, like that one person wants more than the other. And you can't lie to yourself as well, because you're only doing yourself a disservice and them a disservice. And if you are having these, like, you know your feelings and we don't know them. So you have to ask yourself, like, what is your gut telling you? Like, is your gut saying like, I don't want to get married in the next year? That's fine. But if your gut is saying like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life with this person, or I don't want to be engaged to them, like this is not
another
like,
issue
the
here.
Person I want to be engaged to, then I do think you have to be honest with yourself and your fiance.
Another issue here is the lack of communication. Mm-hmm. Because if you are, I think that's an uneasy space to be in a relationship where you are floored with stuff, where you're kind of like, what? You're going to, you know, ask me to marry you in front of all of our friends when we haven't maybe even had that conversation. And so it seems to be a communicative issue. And I think the most important things in a relationship are like respect, communication, and you know, decision making. And that's a togetherness. Like engagement isn't just like, oh, I want to marry you, so I'm going to get down on one knee in front of everyone. And
it's a joint decision.
So like you need to, if there has been a communication like lapse, like where you're not seeing, you know, and it could you don't know, like, I mean, engagement is like this romanticized big gesture. It could be him noticing that like you're pulling away and being like, I'm gonna get down on one knee in front of all of our friends, look what I'm doing, this is how much I'm committed to you, everyone's so happy for us, and you're the only one who's not in this. But like, you have to get down to the root of the root, which is you and him, and the fact that he, you know, did something that you didn't like. And now in engagements as well, like, I mean, there's a lot of pressure put on men with like, that's not the kind of one I wanted, you know, like,
it's, which is bullshit. I mean, like, we all know, I talked about like fucking Christmas engagements and public engagements, and guess what, I got engaged on Christmas Eve in public and I didn't give a fuck, you know, because it's like, I do think like at the end of the day, if it's the right person, you don't care, like, you know, you have these ideas in your head of like, I would like to be engaged in this way or blah 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 blah, but it's like, at the end of the day, if what you're thinking about is the actual like setup of the engagement rather than the person you're getting engaged to, then you're probably not getting engaged for the right reasons. You're getting engaged for like the veneer of it all, not to like be engaged to your partner, you know. So I think that, as you said, you're right, Lindsay, it is like romanticized in that way. But I think the lack of communication there for me is more so that like you seemed a bit blindsided with an engagement, and it didn't seem to be something that you guys have like maybe approached or really spoken about that much. Like if you're really like, I mean, when Ev proposed to me, I was like shocked in the sense that like I didn't expect it coming that day, but like I wasn't like, what, you know, that way, like there wasn't like an instant, like,
you'd spoken about rings.
We'd spoken about lightly, and we're saved by a house, so like, you know, it's not really that big of a jump from there. If anything, the house is more fucking intense than the fucking engagement ring. So like, it wasn't like that far of a cry from the way our relationship exists now. So I think, you know, if you guys are going through maybe a hard time and he's doing a panic engagement, that's like,
which happens. I know men who have like,
babies happen all the time as well. People are like, let's just have a baby to heal our
relationship. But at least that's, unless the woman is like poking holes in the condoms, like that's more of a joint decision. But like, I know guys who've been like on the set for fucking 4 days straight. Their mom is like texting them being like, where the fuck are you? I'm fucking sick of this. I am done. They leave the set. They go to the jeweler's. They get a ring and they're dropping down a woman being like, I fucking love you, baby. Please don't give back to me.
Leave me, baby.
I love you. I love you so much. Stinking of alcohol bag fucking coming out of their nose. You know the way it's so just know that you can't be bullied into an engagement. And just because he made this wild gesture, sometimes that's like throwing glitter on a problem, being like, you can give it to me because I give you a ring. You know, it's like, oh, I still can. And you can, and you can kind of like burst their little bubble of being like, you know, it was in front of everyone. We like whatever's going on in your relationship, we're not sure. But if it's come in a space where like maybe you're not like getting on that well, and then you're like, you've done this and it's like really public and like you didn't talk to me about it. That is, I mean, again, with the romanticized, like we see it, like we're saying these like surprise engagements on like movies and they're like, oh my God. It's like, it shouldn't really be like that. And we've said before about like relationships when you're in a good, solid, good soulmate vibe relationship, isn't this big like, whoa, crazy ebbs and flows of like mentalness and passion. And it's kind of like chill and connection and seeing each other eye to eye and respect and, you know.
Yeah, I think like, I mean, depending on where, if the background is of yous maybe having, which again is just complete speculation on our behalf, but I guess that's what we do here. Like if it was out of the blue because you guys maybe haven't been, like maybe you're not that serious, or if you think it might have been a bit of a panic engagement, you confronting him on it might fucking relieve some stress on him, you know, that way. Like he might be like, oh God, thank God. You know, like, because if he's doing it from a bad reason, then he's probably, he could be feeling the same to you. But I think
when you're real with people, you'll always connect.
I think, yeah, if I would broach the topic with him, I think you're going to have to go softly. Like, you know, I think it's going to have to be maybe multiple conversations, but I would maybe just be like, so, you know, like start to, if you talk about your engagement as in like, you know, when did you start, if you haven't asked him these questions, like, when did you start thinking of proposing to me? You know, that way you can have those conversations that are light, you know, like, oh, so when did you decide to propose? And you'll get a more of a background and an insight into like, was it like a week before, or was he thinking of this like weeks before? And then like, you know, maybe if you start talking about marriage, see what he's thinking about that and be like, do you want to get married? Like, do you realize what engagement is? You know, you're going to have to like, you will have to go softly with it, I think, because I don't think there's going to be a huge band-aid moment of like, I don't want to be engaged anymore. I think that,
well, it depends on the length of the relationship and the history. Yeah, I want to ask you a question, Jenny. What do you think about the kind of idea of the ring? Because I know a couple of my friends have got engaged and didn't work out in the past. And I mean, what do you think about, okay, ring price, for example? Like, so say if someone, like in this case, say if this guy, like, you know, it was a quick engagement. He didn't maybe really think about it, didn't kind of save up for the ring and just kind of dropped down, bought something in Elizabeth Duke Argus and was like, marry me. Baby.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you think that a good engagement kind of needs to be like, you know, someone who's like really thought about the ring in, because I know Evan did, and kind of like invested, you know, money over time, saved up and like actually gave, like, you know, that kind of tradition. Do you think that matters?
Not really. It's just so down to the person.
Because there's those traditions that it's supposed to be like, what, 3 months wages or something like
that? 2 months or something like that. But that was made up by a marketing company, so who cares? I mean, the whole idea of engagement rings was made up by a marketing company for a diamond jeweler in the like 30s.
Yeah,
so that, but I mean, you know what I mean,
tradition starts from everywhere.
It does, but I mean, yeah, but tradition started in a ploy to, like, I mean, engagement rings were never, I think it's like they got the idea because they wanted people, I watched a show and they got the idea because they wanted people to basically have a reason to buy diamonds that wasn't like just for rich people. They wanted to be for everyone. So they basically had started this marketing campaign that was like, a diamond is forever. And they took it from, like, I think the Egyptians used to have rings, marriage rings. No one really did before that. They might have like some sort of ring, but it was never like a diamond ring, wasn't the thing. So this is like not
just like a gold band. Kind of.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Or like, I think, but I don't. don't think it was even like the standard. I think there was like a rich person thing, you know, like people didn't have jewelry, you know, yeah, that way. Yeah. Like, and obviously I think it was maybe even been in the 50s or the 40s. It was pretty fucking recent. And they just like this genius marketing campaign just brought out like that diamond rings. A diamond is forever, just like your marriage should be forever. The woman gets the ring and then they set the standard. They just made it up. They're like twice your monthly wages. That's how you know she'll love you. Like, it's also meant to be this like kind of status thing of like, look how much I can spend on a ring. And you know what I mean? So, I mean,
but
like,
I think it also comes into the idea as well of a kind of price for the woman, which I mean, God, this is like if the man is out working and he's giving you a kind of a solid piece of his wage,
yeah,
you know, that you can
it's
hold.
It's like an like it's seen like an investment kind of thing. I mean, like
a
I was,
shared trust. Like, yeah, I love you, and here you go.
I was talking to my friend Yulia about this a while ago. We're talking about engagement rings. She's used to work in a jewelry place, and like, I was, for me, like with the whole like breaking off an engagement thing, it's like, if we never got married, I'm giving you back the ring.
100%.
Some people keep it.
100%. Yes, I so would.
Like, I could not. First of all, why would I want an engagement ring that reminds me of my failed fucking engagement?
It's his money. He gave you a ring for commitment for marriage.
Yeah.
And if you are saying, actually, no, I don't want that, give the ring back 100%.
Yeah. If you're married and your marriage lasted a few years, I guess that's up to the two of you. But I would imagine by that point, you've probably, you know, given him a wedding present. You know, all those things kind of happen. So, I mean, it depends.
Yeah, if you get married, then it's a whole different story because you have to get divorced and split assets.
Yeah, so exactly. That would so that, included. But like, I don't, personally, I don't agree with people who get engaged, break off the engagement and keep the ring. I think that's a bit fucking cheeky. Like, some people are like, it's my ring. It's like, no. He gave you the ring on the condition that the two of you would get married because you're like joining assets and you're marrying your lives together. So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, that is not cool behavior. If you're
also like, why would
I
want it?
Yes, I do. You want it because you can freaking get it melted down into whatever. Like,
it's salad, I guess, but it just feels so tacky. It's like, it's not my money to get back.
I know, but I mean, some people are just like, I don't know. I'm like that myself. Like, I mean, you know, I find that mad. Like, it's totally different. An engagement ring is totally different than a Chanel bag that your fella got you for Christmas or something that you're like, well, I'm keeping my Chanel bag. You know, it's like, it's a signifier of a commitment that you've both made. If you're not doing that, you got to give back the ring. But yeah, you got to talk to your fiance and figure it out and just be real. Like, I mean, let the whole kind of like, you know, craziness, you're engaged, what's the wedding, die down a bit and be like, what the fudge?
Yeah, it should be died down by now. Like, I mean, I'm not really getting much, thank fuck, anymore. But people are really annoying and invasive when you're engaged. I will put that out there.
Engagement, pregnancy, houses, it's all the same.
It's like
I dropped, you know, in last year that I am wanting to buy a house to my parents. Can I go over to them for tea without ever talking about the house?
No.
And I'm like, yeah, mom, I think I'm going to wait until this time. They're like, well, how about if you can't afford it, get a showmra in the back garden. We need to get you buying a house. I'm like, mom, I mentioned it once in passing.
I know.
Give me a goddamn break.
It's
I don't know what it is. It's Irishisms of like wanting to come on now. You're engaged.
I think it's everywhere. Anyone I've ever spoken to or heard from, any shit, like the minute you get engaged and especially pregnancy, it's like unwarranted opinions 24/7. And when's the date? Like, people inviting yourself to your wedding as well, that's a thing.
Is it?
Can't wait for the wedding. You weren't invited.
I like, love that. So that's fucking gas.
They're like, I can't wait. I'm like,
it's gonna be a brilliant day for us all.
Who the fuck said you're coming?
Like, while she's like, beep, inspire. You're like,
yeah, you're like, ow.
But it's the same with babies. Like, I would be fucking pregnant, and they're like, it's you thinking of having another. How many have? And I'm like, let me pop this bitch ever, honey.
I know. You know, seriously.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, next question. Hey, gals, love the pod. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, as you may have seen this week, lots of women have spoken up about Marilyn Manson being a serial abuser. I think I've heard Jenny saying before that she was a fan. Where do you girls stand on the whole separating the artist from the art argument? Very interesting question. And
so, Jenny, you're a fan of an abuser, are you, I hear?
I endorse
abuse. I hear a racist note, Ted.
Brilliant. Marilyn Manson, for me, yeah, you know, I tried to talk to Adam about this the other week, and it glaringly showed like our 5-year age difference. He's like, I really don't know much about Marilyn Manson. I'm like, wow, I feel old. Because like when we were teenagers, like Marilyn Manson and Britney Spears were the biggest income makers from MTV.
Shut up, really?
Manson was fucking like globally huge.
Now, I'm fascinated by Marilyn Manson. Mm. But I think when we first became friends all those years ago, you lent me your Marilyn Manson book, his autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy book, so interesting to read. Mm-hmm. Like I loved it. And now that all this is coming out, I want to read it again because I can't really remember it because it was like 10 freaking 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I was obviously brought up and not allowed. Like he was like,
yeah,
basically Satan in like in.
Well, his album was called Antichrist Superstar.
Yeah, and like he's really satanic. Like from what I remember about the book, like he got really into Satanism, didn't he? Not at the start of.
He's. I mean, like
just fascinated. Yeah, with that. I wouldn't say that he's like
more
himself.
Of a like. I mean, if we're putting aside the serial abuser, which he clearly is, by the way, just putting that out there.
Yeah,
not in any way. Like I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious. That every single allegation about him is fucking true. But he's more like, I feel like he's just obsessed with anything taboo.
Anything dark. He's a goth.
He's a goth, but it's like his like kind of...
he's one of those goths.
He's one of those goth types.
He loves the makeup and the black and the jewellery.
He's like, in his whole thing was like dismantling like Americana and like the fakeness behind, like you have to, it's very to the cultural context. Like if you think of when he was at his peak, it was coming into like Bush's evangelical Christian America. It was a very different time, you know, like so mm-hmm. different. Obviously during the early 90s as well, but that was all the same. Like America was like hugely religious, you know, more so than now. It was very like, you know, a lot of the politicians that were like in power still are in power, especially in the Republican Party. Although Clinton was in power when he first came into thing. But, you know, when he was growing up, it was very like Republican, white, evangelical, right wing kind of ideas of like, you know, the family and like Jesus before everything. So like his whole thing, and which came back from like, you know, a lot of the post-punk movement, was like dismantling that. And like he liked to provoke those people by showing them their like
worst nightmare kind of thing.
Kind of showing them their worst nightmare, but actually showing how prejudiced they are to other people, because their whole thing is about being like so open about everyone. But his whole thing was like provoking the symbols, you know, which is like an anti-symbolic thing, which is like a big thing within like punk kind of ideologies of like symbols are just symbols, words are just words.
And they always like say, for example, there a lot of stuff within these allegations came out where he was asking like these girls to buy him like Nazi memorabilia, which is weird.
Fuck.
But I understand what you mean. Like that does very much exist in punk, post-punk and shit like that.
I think to an extent, he definitely, like from what I'm reading, Rose McGowan and Dita Von Teese both came out, who were like A-list kind of celebrities of his. He went out with Rose McGowan late 90s, then went out with Dita Von Teese pretty soon after, married her. They divorced after a year.
They were together for 7 years, were they?
They were together for 7 years, like six, and only married for 1 year.
Yeah.
And both of those women have come out and said, like, he wasn't this way with me, which obviously doesn't mean that he's not that way in
and
the future.
And they both said that.
Yeah, they both said that, and they were like, not taking away from the victims' allegations, but like, he wasn't. So like, I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, I think he was always probably in some way, I mean, like, all artists in my mind are probably in some way kind of like narcissistic and probably a bit terrible. Like, I mean, I don't really expect my artists to be like upholding, especially if they're like Marilyn Manson. I'm not exactly, you know, upholding them to the standard of being like an upstanding member of society. And if you read his book, you very much see of why, how he's not. But like, I think clearly, like, he almost became like the monster that he pretended to be at some point. It's like he like ended up like believing his own bullshit lie, where he used to like do live shows where he would like be on a pulpit and there would be like semi like Nazi symbolism, which was kind of meant to like, again, provoke people. And it was usually more like a way of like talking about like modern Americana. Then he obviously like got really fucking into it. I don't know. I think like celebrity land is weird, you know?
It is weird. But I think what happens within, say, like with goth culture and punk culture, and where these kind of more darker sides are like elevated and seen as art. So if we're talking about like with this question, how do you separate the art and the artist? How do we separate, you know, many artists, not just Marilyn Manson, artists like Eminem and Octovation, which came out only a while ago on Instagram with lyrics that he had put out in his album was stunted when his ex came out with abuse allegations.
And Tekashi 6ix9ine.
All of these artists who use in their lyrics like violent words, violent lyrics about partners. Like, I mean, Marilyn Manson came out, Evan Rachel Wood was one of the women who has, in 2018, during the Me Too kind of movement, when it was like first kind of on the scene, she was in court and she was reading out about her like abuse, and she's done it numerous times and she speaks really, really well on it actually.
And she's never said it was explicitly Marilyn Manson.
She never named him, but on Instagram she did as Brian Warner, who is obviously Marilyn Manson. And I mean, it was very obvious because she said, you know, up until before she named him, she said, I was 18, I was growing up, I was in this relationship, etc. So that's what's intriguing, because I was watching a YouTube of this like gothic girl speaking about like, you know, what this these allegations and this story will do for the kind of goth movement. Because like she was saying, in normal, you know, normal people, if they are saying like, I want to drink your blood, that's kind of like, what the fuck? But in goth culture, that's kind of like, you know, normalized in a way, because they are so like,
and romanticized. So I think a lot of these girls, 100%, and you're right, like, I mean, a lot of these girls were like very heavily into his music. He definitely preyed on like fans for the most, especially after Evan Rachel Wood. From this is what I can kind of see, it was like Dita Von Teese, he cheated on Dita Von Teese with Evan Rachel Wood, then he like went out with her, clearly abused her, clearly fucked her up. She was very young, he was fucking 42 or some shit like that.
She's given the most, from what I can tell, the most kind of like they're all pretty harrowing, but her, I think because of her status and because of the way that she described the abuse, it was
and it
quite,
was so public, the relationship.
And it was
as
so
well.
Public. And it looked so visually, like, I mean, you see him with Rose McGowan, and this is just purely like judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
It kind of, you could see, like, I get Rose McGowan, you know, she wore that amazing dress to the VMAs where it was like basically the chainmail new dress. He looked at, you know.
And then Dita Von Teese made sense again.
Yeah, like,
you know?
She's obviously like a powerful, confident woman who like owned her job. Evan Rachel Wood was like pretty new in the scene. She was 18. She even just looked very,
she was very, I
angelic,
mean,
kind of. So you can kind of see, even like visually,
they
it
were,
just looked wrong.
They were more of a juxtaposition. It was like, whoa. And you
like,
know,
what the hell?
And like, in hindsight now, so much of it was hiding in plain sight. Like he was saying in like the newspapers, crazy fucking shit, that he fantasized about bashing her head in with a mallet. That there was a video that has been leaked of like the intro to his website where he's like clearly like, I mean, I don't know if it's real, it fucking looks real, of him like beating her, like he's literally punching her across the head and there's blood coming out of her nose. Now even if that's fake, that's fucking weird. And like
and it's glamorizing and romanticizing, and this is
which
the
he
problem.
Never used to do. Like that's the thing, like Marilyn Manson was 100% a provocateur, but like his lyrics, I mean, there was definitely really provocative and controversial lyrics, but like it definitely, I was knee deep on fucking Reddit threads on Marilyn Manson. It's really interesting, like seeing his fandom react to it. And to be honest,
what is the overall reaction?
Oh, on a whole, they're like, disgusting. It's disgusting. Like, and they're disappointed and distraught, you know? But I think, like, you know, there's all these lyrics that, like, from what I'm seeing, it's all like kind of 2008 onwards. So it's all these really weird lyrics about, like, just a lot of it about Evan Rachel Wood, really like psychotic things that, like, I mean, again, it is lyrics and I can understand. And I think that's why you have to, like, a lot of the people, like, it's so cute on the fucking Reddit thread, to be honest. They're like, guys, you have to forgive yourself for liking Marilyn's music. Marilyn Manson is a different person to Brian Warner. Of course, Brian Warner became Marilyn Manson at one point. Like, they're like
trying to understand themselves. Yeah. And I mean, like, and I mean, I grew up and I was fucking like with Eminem. Like, I, again, Marilyn Manson, I obviously was so aware of as a visual artist more so. But I don't understand his music. It kind of scares me, to be honest. It always did, especially because, like, my mum was like, he is the devil. If you listen to him, you're welcoming the devil into your life. And I was like, what? So always scared about him. And then you were like, you know, read his book. His book is really just interesting. And, like, it's mad to read all that fucking crazy shit. Now, stuff has come out about the book as well, about that some things were hyperbolic, that he made up a story about abuse, apparently. Whatever.
There's loads of really weird shit in that book, and don't read that book if you're sensitive, basically. That's all I'm saying.
100%. But also, like, that's the kind of separating between the art and the artist, especially when we're talking about goth or punk or these kind of, like, you know, it's linked to darkness, and the fascination is in gore
and the
death,
taboo,
you know, abuse, and all these different things.
Which, well, not really. Like, I mean, like, goth stuff isn't really like about romanticizing abuse and death. It's
more
about,
like,
it
is,
like,
in the dark, and within darkness comes those things. And I think that's kind of what I have seen from Marilyn Manson. Like, how can you be that enamored with, like, satanic kind of, you know, the history of Satan, and, like, reading, like, I remember reading in the book that he had, like, from a very early age had fantasized about, like, Satan and really wanted to understand the whole story and read, like, satanic books. And then, like, you know, he's getting into, like, Nazi symbolism, and it's like, how can you be, like, that enamored with darkness and then not think that it would penetrate into your reality of, like, abuse? I think it's similar to what we've spoken about before, about, like, the male WhatsApp group. If you were continuously absorbing, say, like, beheadings or this or that or crazy shit that's coming in and you're consuming it, surely
I think
it's like you are what you eat.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that kind of comes from, like, the idea that you have to believe in, like, Satan being evil, which, if you are a Satanist, you don't. You are like, if you are into satanic practice, you're not always thinking of it being an evil practice. So I think that's coming from more of a Christian perspective, which I understand.
Well, I think roots are in evil because it's like you have the power, you are the controller, and that kind of thing.
Well, that's again down to the beholder of the idea of it, you know. So, but I think it's more so, less so to do with, like, you know, being involved, because, like, that would mean that, like, anyone who is, you know, interested in, like, anything that, like, maybe modern culture sees as dark or taboo, then you are what you eat and you're going to become it. I don't believe that. I believe that Marilyn Manson was more than likely a narcissist with psychopathic traits who then, due to probably things like fame, alcohol, drugs, a bad lifestyle. Look at the guy. He looks like he's melting off his bones. He doesn't look good.
Him and Nick Cage look quite similar.
He has, you know, completely, since, even within that book, he's been honest and open about his, like, look at Johnny Depp's his best fucking friend.
He used to do coke on stage.
The two of them are clearly, like, chronic alcoholics who are seriously, like, have abused their bodies, abused their mind. They don't live in reality. But
that's celebrated in that world within kind of, like, his performances. Like, I mean, I don't know if he could have performed the way he did with, like, you know.
Well, look at Trent Reznor. Trent Reznor is, like, someone who was, a colleague basically of his from Nine Inch Nails, and, like, he went through all of those things. He went through abuse, he went through severe depression, drug abuse, 100% went down the route for a while of, like, that rock star lifestyle, you know, had suicide attempts, and I don't think that it means that you're eventually going to become
evil.
I think that, like, there is ways of pulling you out, but I think it depends on, from what I can see, and again, I'm no psychologist, but, like, a lot of the conversation surrounding him is that he's, like, you know, psychopathic. I mean, that makes sense. He has no empathy, or so it seems, for women. He's talking about having, like, a room in his house where he locks his girlfriend when they're bad, and he's written about, like, he's literally said,
I think I don't like kind of psychoanalysis, because I think in some ways it freaking excuses.
No, it doesn't excuse it at all. It doesn't excuse it.
And we won't know his, like, mental state. All we can talk about is what we do know, is what we hear. Like, the rock star kind of, you know, can you be someone, like, yes, Trent has like moved past his alcoholic, drug abusing ways, but to exist as a pop star in that time, he had to go through that. And same with Marilyn Manson. Would he have got as big as he did without these crazy, like that rock star idealization of like, you're fucking doing coke on stage, your blood, like, you know, that doesn't exist in a normal society. Well, so
it doesn't, but I think that like, yeah, so look, I mean, if we're going to talk about like separating the art from the artist, like I do think you can do that. But I understand how some people find it hard. You know, that way, like, mm-hmm. I understand and I respect when people, like, because there's been, like, some times where, like, I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's been, like, a few things that, like, I'm never, like, I will boycott them. If someone wants to do that, grant, go for it, you know, that way. But, like, I've never been, like, I'm boycotting, like, this artist or that artist because of these allegations or even something that's been completely 100% proven against them. But I can understand how you might get, dare I say, the ick over being like, oh, I haven't, like, say for example, really, really, really light analogy, but just to lighten up, Sex in the City, right? Yeah. When I found out that Kim Cattrall, all that bullshit happened, I found it really hard to watch Sex in the City. Now, I'm not going to be like, I'm boycotting it because I feel she was done hard by and I still
I'm not going to be like, Jenny, stop watching it. Do you not know how she was treated during filming?
Exactly. And like, you know, or even like say the whole Armie Hammond thing that came out. Like it's like, Call Me By Your Name is a great movie and I can respect it for the movie that it is.
And you enjoy the movie, I think.
And like, Harvey Weinstein produced some of the best movies of the early 90s and 2000s, you know, and he's obviously a fucking scumbag as well. But
I just watched As Good As It Gets over the weekend and I saw his name come up at the start and
it does make you go like,
and you think and you like, you know, I think it's with the separating the art and the artist, I think it comes into a lot, especially with social media and how we love to control others via social media, like, you know, with cancel culture and with like, stop following them, stop listening to it girls, stop doing that, you know, that kind of thing, and trying to control how other people's, how other people consume and enjoy, like art is to be enjoyed, movies, music is to be enjoyed, and everyone has different tastes, you know.
And also, you know, something that I saw on the Reddit thread which made a lot of sense to me, like a lot of Marilyn Manson fans would be my age, maybe a little bit older, and you know, a lot of people who might have been into that kind of like goth scene or, you know, counterculture, glam rock kind of, you know, post-punk era, usually would have connected to those darker lyrics. I mean, it's the same with the emo kind of scene, because you might have been struggling when you were a teenager and going through like kind of coming of age years, and a lot of the time, you know, the music has healed you and the music has helped you because you're connecting with someone. And that's why, you know, talking about dark things, talking about depression, talking about suicidal ideation and all of these things within art can really be a healer for people. And you know, on the Reddit thread they were saying, you know, like, forgive yourself for like finding healing in that, even if he turned out to be like a shit person, like your interpretation of that music and that art and how it helped you, that's your own thing, and it's nothing to do with them as a person. It's nothing to do with, you know, just by you finding an artist, and everyone's had that artist, I think, when they were a teenager, that you found someone, whether it's a movie or a book or whatever it is, that it you connected to it on an emotional level and it helped you. And you being helped by that is not endorsing every single thing that person has done throughout their life. That would be crazy. That would mean we would never be able to enjoy anything ever, you know?
And I think with that, I mean, I think the disappointment for what I can imagine from the fans is that, like, yes, when you're, you know, if you were in a space which, and I mean, my sisters were like emo, they went through that phase, and it's like the kind of like lyrics of like, and I remember being a teenager and like listening to, like, I'd listen to the Shangri-La and they're like, I want to die in the street because I fucking love you so much, and I'm like, yes, exactly, you know, like I would listen to more like over romanticized like 60s fucking songs or whatever that were so ridiculous, like a woman being like, I don't want to work, I want to be at home waiting for my man. I'm like, yes, and I've never kissed a guy, but my sisters would love of like him and the lyrics of like bright eyed and broken and cut me till, you know, these kind of things. Yeah. We all have that stage in life where you're like super, you know,
you're heightened, you know,
emotions. You're going through whatever, and it's not even an age thing, but when I think the disappointing thing is when you're like, you know, you see artists like Eminem who've moved past that way of kind of, you know, lyricism, and like, you know, you see artists who have kind of been like, when I was writing that, I was not in a good headspace, and now I am, and I can look back, and it doesn't mean that they have to like cancel the song and never listen to it again, but like honor it in the same sense the way like Lady Gaga did with the R. Kelly song and Do What You Want With My Body. Like she was like, I don't stand by that song anymore, whereas it would have been so much more healing if she was like, I had been through an assault and this was my like reaction to kind of be like, do what you want with me, like in a way of kind of ownership over myself. It was like a healing process. So to kind of, I think it's just disappointing for people to see how like they followed Marilyn Manson, they connected with him, and how he just went off, you know?
And like, I think anyone who's a fan of Marilyn Manson will know that. Like, I talked to my friend Devin about it, and like, he and I are big fans of Marilyn Manson, and like, would have connected with him for the same reasons when we were younger. And, you know, he hasn't made anything of worth really since 2002. And that doesn't mean obviously that like he's not an artist anymore, but it's like clearly something went off there. Something went wrong. The fandom have seen it. And now it's like all your nightmares about someone who you probably used to put on a pedestal, definitely. And this is something that, you know, this is part of pop culture. When we put these people on these pedestals and like glorify them and deify them and think that they're perfect and they're amazing and they're incredible and they're blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, your world can feel like it's crashing down. But like at the end of the day, like, you know, you, for what I see and personally to me is like music and art and movies and books and anything within that world, like your interpretation is your interpretation of that and how it helped you and why you liked it. And you don't have to stand by everything that an artist has done beyond that. Now, if, you know, I can understand how if you were like someone who then, I don't know, had like, if that triggers you or whatever the fuck, I can understand you moving beyond it. And I think that's okay. I think you're also able to be like, I liked it then, I'm moving beyond it now. But I think don't judge, the lesson for me is like, don't tell people that, you know, don't guilt people for like still enjoying an artist who might be canceled or outed or whatever.
Well, I think it's just don't tell people what to do.
Yeah.
It's
or what
very
to like.
Much an
so
individualistic
personal.
Choice, mm. what you watch, what you read. And, you know, I mean, there's roots to every book,
yeah.
and every, like, I mean, it's like veganism. Like, mm-hmm. I've spoken about that before. Like, when I was like being vegan, and then I was like, oh my God, this isn't vegan. The gum on this cigarette is apparently a rabbit's little hoof or whatever, oh, you know? Yeah. So it was like never ending. And that's the same. If we're going to try and like dictate what and who is a good person to listen to or to read or to watch on TV, like, say if you pick up a book and you really enjoy the book and you can like research the author, she's a mom of two kids, grand. Okay, oh, who made the book? Oh, he's an abuser.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
who
yeah,
banged
yeah,
the book?
Yeah,
oh, who,
yeah.
like, you know, all these things. So it's never, I don't think, there's no such thing as a pure person.
Yeah.
Or a person who hasn't made mistakes.
And there's plenty of fucking terrible people.
And there is.
Just like Marilyn Manson.
Like especially, like you were saying, when you mix in fame and money and like alcohol and drugs and abuse yeah. and like his glorification of the dark side of like, you know, he has been, a lot of the conversation has come out about like it being hidden in plain sight. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's surprised. I know you aren't. I don't know. No one is, you know, like.
It's disappointed, not surprised. That's the only way to put it.
It's
you
upsetting
know?
That it was as horrific as. Was because I don't think yeah. we, you know, I mean, you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. You're like, oh, you live, you know, you kind of think, oh, maybe he's just like exaggerating for the kind of like drama yeah. of the music or whatever.
And but that's what I kind of heard. Like, that's what you're kind of hearing now from like people like Dita and Rose McGowan. They're kind of saying like, it's almost like, as I said, he became the monster he was pretending to be. It used to be a show. It used to be a character. Marilyn Manson.
And like, an expression.
They were saying on Reddit, they're like, Brian's no more. He is Marilyn Manson now. And I think that's it. I think it's like,
wow. He, it's like Katie Price and Jordan.
Yeah. It's like there's no line between the two anymore. And that's, you know, exacerbated, I'm sure, by, you know, he's very pretty openly and from a lot of the allegations, a chronic drug addict and alcoholic. And that is not an excuse. Neither is a personality disorder or,
And he
you know,
obviously hid it to a certain extent because both Evan Rachel Wood and Dita Von Teese said yeah. that they weren't sure of the kind of magnitude of the abuse
yeah
that he hid the so god yeah. knows
so
god,
it, I mean it's a it. Very very dark situation, but I mean an interesting conversation that we're going to continue to have because it is something that now just is coming out
comes
so
up
much
every other week.
So I think it's something you have to reckon with yourself and just don't, not that this person is, but like, you know, if you are someone who, fair enough, you might feel really strongly about like a certain cause and then someone came out, maybe it's like racist tweets from years ago or something like that, like you just can't tell people. And you don't presume that they're endorsing their actions by enjoying their art. That's all I'll say. Don't yeah. put it on them that like it's an unfair thing. At the end of the day, the only person that you should be putting blame on this situation is Marilyn Manson, is the abuser, is the blah. Don't be going to your friends and making them, like, just because they like someone who ended up being a shit person, does not make them a shit person.
And also, you know, we do also like with these things when, you know, we have said tirelessly that we are anti-cancel culture. However, yeah. the power of social media has, helped many, many victims, such as like with the R. Kelly documentary. He's now imprisoned because of that documentary, because it puts it...
There's a difference between illegal actions and cancel culture, you know, that way.
No, there is, 100%. And it's the same with them. So I think, but again, with that and with illegal kind of things that can be coming out on Twitter and these, like, you know, there is, you know, we do need proof for it to be... Yeah. There has to be proof in a court of law if it was going to, like, thankfully, you know, with R. Kelly, when it was put out with the documentary and, you know, same with this Marilyn Manson thing, it's like, hopefully, like, more victims can come forward with,
well,
like,
it's going to the Supreme Court. There's been an FBI investigation and, you know, there needs to be proof for him to be proven guilty and put in jail. But it's up to you whether what you believe. And if you believe it on an allegation, that's your own shit.
And if you're in your room listening to Marilyn Manson, you know, you're allowed to do that. You know the way? Like, I mean, I'm not going to, like, when I was watching As Good As It Gets, I wasn't like, turn that off. I'm not supporting this. And it's, you can't, like...
It's a never-ending spiral.
Because then everyone's the victim.
Celebrities used to be, before, like, social media, I do think social media changed so much about it. And I think celebrities used to be able to hide their personal life so much better. Mm-hmm. So this has always been going on. This is nothing new. It's just that now the line between celebrity and normal person has been blurred so much. So with that... is going to come a reckoning of realizing that the people, and, you know, the people that you might put on pedestals very much well be terrible, horrible people with terrible pasts or people who aren't terrible but have made really shit mistakes.
Or, and you just don't know.
And you just have to weigh up the scales. But like, shall we move on to the next question?
We're also going to be talking about the Britney documentary. So that's another one that was soon. Like very much... pushed on social media and has, like, obviously made it into now, like, the forefront and where hopefully action will be happening for poor old Brittany.
Yeah.
Hey gals, I'm finally admitting I need advice when it comes to drinking. I've been getting messy, emotional, oversharing, texting guys to meet up and pissing them off because I'm drunk while dealing with cases of the fear, lasting for a week afterwards. I love drinking and having a laugh and I've been a bit silly, but I hate the drama that comes with drink sometimes.
Yeah. So, Lens, thoughts?
So, I have recently decided to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mic drop.
Mic fucking drop.
Only recently. But I think I'm going to stop for, I mean, maybe ever. Mm. I think I have finally been quenched. And, you know, I've told Jenny this and my mom and whatever. Like, and I don't think, like, I think this question stood out to me because... I don't think, like, sometimes it seemed kind of serious when I was thinking about, like, oh, I don't think I want to drink anymore. I don't think I like it. I don't think I want to. It's not, you know, I keep on serving myself drink, but it's not serving me.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I doing kind of thing? It punks, like, I was just kind of like reflecting, which I do all the time. I'm always like in my little head. And I was like, okay, I don't want it to seem like sometimes when you're like, I'm stopping drinking. I didn't want it to be like, I have a problem. This is impacting my life. This is terrible. I need to stop. It was more just that I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and I think like my life would vastly improve without it. I don't think there's much space in my life that, like, I was trying to configure, okay, if I take that out, what, you know, sometimes I think in my head I was thinking, oh, but my social life, oh, but my fun and my enjoyment and like letting loose and all those things will be lost. But then I was like, that's not true.
Mm.
In fact, with drinking, especially when mixed with socializing or like, you know, with my boyfriend or my friend, you know, it can kind of impact your life in like, you know, I'll forget things when I'm drunk. I'm very forgetful with drinking.
Yeah.
You are
like a blackout, not that you get, like, you won't be blackout drunk, but you will blackout. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like,
my
you'll
brain...
be like the same drunkenness level as me, and
oh,
you just
and
forget.
The same drinks.
Yeah.
It's like I could have three flipping Bulmer's lights and I won't remember. It is so annoying. I'm like, have I got early onset dementia? I had a dream about that last night. And I was just like, that was a big thing for me because it's really fucking frustrating to drink and not remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's like something really chill, like one of my gal pals coming over for a couple of glasses of vino.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't remember.
And then the next day they're like, how fun was it saying that? And I'm like, yeah. And we're like, you know, you're with your boyfriend and they're like, great sex last night. You're like, I loved it. What? You know, so those kind of things. I was like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And I... confident, fun person, and I don't need drink. Like, I don't need drink to like have more fun or to let loose. I'm those things without. So, yeah, I just decided this is gonna, I just was like, this is 100%. There's nothing in my life that will not improve with not drinking.
Yeah.
Even sleep. I remember you saying that Evan got one of those watches, Fitbit things.
Oh my God, yeah. Evan got like, he has a Whoop, it's called.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop.
Tell me you're a 90s kid without telling me you're a 90s kid.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Or, I love when people say like WH. Yeah. Whoop, whoop.
Or another one.
What's that?
What's that? But yeah, he had this Whoop, which is like a really, it's like really fucking intense like heart rate thing, and it tells you like your recovery from sleep, so it tells you like how good your sleep was basically. And everyone was like so fucking obsessed with this for a while. Not so much anymore, he still wears it though. But he, I remember he didn't, we two of us did Dry January last year, and like every night his recovery was like 97%, 98%, 96%, 99%, like blah blah. And right before coronavirus hit, he and I were in Monarch and he hadn't drank actually January or February. This was in March, like right before coronavirus, the lockdown. I remember when we were down there, like it was like someone was like, apparently there's a case now in Ireland. Dear God,
God.
Seems like so long ago.
I remember, yeah, I was in a Wetherspoons and my friend called me and he was like, apparently like there's going to be army men. And I was like, what this are was, you fucking yeah. on about?
This was
China?
Literally like, there hadn't even been a, like there was like a rumor of one case in Ireland and everyone was like, there's like, before your birthday. Anyway, but yeah, so then we had a drink that first night we went down there and his recovery was 3%.
So one drink or like many drinks?
He had a good few drinks, yeah. But like it doesn't really matter.
No, because I remember as well, you were saying like if you had been in your house and you had like one or two glasses of wine, it's still, no matter the amount of alcohol, yeah. If he had any,
if he had one drink, it was yeah. like, it would impact his like recovery. And that's what they say. Apparently like when you're drunk, you don't actually fall asleep. You actually like, not pass out as in faint, but you kind of just go like semi-unconscious. It's not like sleep as in your body's not like recovering and like resting. That's why like you always, you can be asleep for like 8 hours and you're still like, I'm so tired.
I know.
Tired.
And that's the worst when you like peel your eyes you're open like after a night out and you're like, what time is it? What?
Two?
I know. And then you're like, I slept for 14 hours and I feel like I have woken up like after like half hour sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like, this is something that is so doable.
Mm-hmm.
And especially I think like lockdown and stuff like that has just like, I feel like, you know, for me, the benefits of lockdown have been like, we're very much presented. We've said it before, like with our reality. Yeah, we were very much kind of like brought back to reality in the sense of like, we had no distractions of, you know, normal life. So I was at home thinking about things. And I was like, do you know, this is definitely something that when normal life resumes, I can just like, start it now, the non-drinking, get used to it, and just go out and drink 0%. It's really not that hard. Like, I remember doing Dry January last year and like 0%.
Yeah.
They were my thing. You I was fucking loving them.
Drinking 100% is just so habitual. And because in Ireland, it's like such a like standard within socializing that like that habit is just really easy to get into, like drinking a lot. You know that way. And like, I think a lot of
and it's accepted and it's actually like needed as a hobby. It's like, come on, Jenny, we're going out getting pissed.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
no, I'll have, you know, that's like, if you don't home along.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you don't like fully indulge in that, it's kind of like, oh.
So what was her question at the end? Was she, I know she was saying like she finally realized that she kind of needs some like help around it. But what
I
was
think
her?
She's kind of from what, like I resonated with this because I think she's just kind of saying, I'm finally admitting that I need advice. So okay. I don't think she's saying, and it was similar to me. I wasn't saying like, you know, I wasn't, because I think we can be so, especially in Ireland, we're like alcoholism and binge drinking or alcoholism and drinking quite often and love and drink. And, you know, so I'm in that kind of like, I'm not an alcoholic and I know I don't have those tendencies. However, I do definitely like drink when I'm stressed. I drink to, you know, for stress or
that's
for
like a
fun.
Self-medication, which a lot of people, most people can find their way into.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
If I have a, like, if I'm like, oh my God, I had a stressful time, I'll be like, let's go for a drink and chill out. And like, you know, I'm very much able to stop and go home and all those things, which is fine. But however, I just, you know, I just was like, I need to address the fact that I'm not enjoying it. And here she's saying like, I'm getting messy, emotional, oversharing, texting guys, and then she's drunk when she's seen them. So I kind of, you know, with me, which kind of made me resonate with this as well, I was like, we represent ourselves and the people that we want to be and who we want to be. And when I mix drink with me, I'm not representing myself. I'm representing this crazy bitch that's you know,
like you don't even relate to that person.
Yeah, I don't, you know, not that I don't like her, but I'm like, I wouldn't really do that unless if I took drink out of that, I'd never do that. Mm-hmm. And not even crazy things, just like saying, mm-hmm. you know, being a bit cheeky, being a bit bratty, being a bit annoyed because I'm drunk and, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why am I serving myself something and then representing myself as something that doesn't serve me and that is not something I stand by regularly every other weekend? And I mean, I'm around my friends who also are doing it. We're all in it together. We're all like blah, blah, blah. And it's fun. But it's just like, yeah, I think I'm just kind of now wanting to represent exactly who I am and have full control. It's in me, you know, like once I drink and like this girl is saying, like she's oversharing. So she's not happy with what she's saying. And then she's texting guys and that kind of thing. And like then the fear is lasting for ages. Like, you know, first thing, like if I drink and like the next morning, I'm like, I don't really remember. But then like during the week, I'm like, oh God, remember I said that. Oh, I have a memory, you know. So it's kind of like, why am I doing this to myself? Mm. Especially when initially I'm drinking as a stress reliever, but then it's giving me all this other stress because it's drink.
Chicken and egg. You know, like, and you know, you can be stressed because you're not getting enough sleep. You know, you're waking, not you personally, but like, you know, you might not be sleeping well enough. And then you're like waking up cranky and then you might have a fight with someone. And then it's like your mood is affected and then that causes you stress. So then you drink to chill yourself out and then you forget what you did. And it's like, it's like cyclical, you know, that way. It's like, it can be such a cycle. And I think that like, I think 100% like the word like, alcoholism can be maybe overused, but I do think that like something that is underused is like a lot of people have like either an irresponsible or non-productive relationship with alcohol or just like a drinking problem. And a drinking problem does not mean someone is an alcoholic.
Or that you need like help from like...
Yeah, well, it means you might need help in some way. You maybe
like
you do.
Rehab help kind of thing.
Not rehab, but yeah, but you might need to... I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, it is a drug. And it's the only drug really in society that we like accept people getting. Like, I mean, if your friend was like dabbling with fucking opiates and goofing out in front of you all the time, like you'd be like, what the fuck? Even if they weren't like addicted, which I know like it's so highly addictive, but in a perfect world, you know? So like if your friend is getting like, say she's saying really messy drunk, all of these signs that are red flags for like, it's very easy to get any drug problem and alcohol is no different to any other drug. In fact, it's one of the most addictive drugs. Yeah. So like we have to realize that like, I'm like, you know, alcohol is, you have to, it is a dangerous drug in that sense. And because it's so normalized, people who may have addictive personalities or addictive tendencies, it can be so accepted for them to be getting blackout shit-faced drunk when if that was with anything else, you would be like all over your friend like a fucking flies on shit. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You can buy it everywhere. It's easily accessible. Yeah. Everyone does it.
Exactly.
And I think for me, I mean, 100% I can control my own drinking.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is, and the reason that I really did decide to stop completely, because I just think in our society in Ireland, you can't, it has to be black or white. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, I mean, I can say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have 3 drinks. And I could easily do that. However, with peer pressure, with even things like if you're at a restaurant and you're like, oh, I'll just have 2 glasses of wine. Suddenly someone's pouring up your glass.
Yeah.
And or like in a set. Or if you have a few friends over, like they're like, oh, I have another. It's the pressure. And I think if I, you know, so if I, and it's constantly, you see people doing it all the time. Like you see girls being like, I'm coming out for one. One turns into a 3-day bender, mm-hmm. you know. And it's not so much even like that they aren't able to extract themselves from the situation. It's just the peer pressure. It's the like, you know, it's, and it can be just people being like, come on, get it, you know, that kind of thing. So I think, for me to be able to have control over what I want to do, which is not drink or not get drunk, because I don't like getting drunk and I find myself getting drunk, you know, because of just, it's just you fall into it. So I think for, with, you know, those societal pressures that I have faced from my experience, I've always tried to be like, okay, I'll go out for this many. I just need, it needs to be black or white, because mm-hmm. we've seen it from friends of ours, like Jack, our friend, you know, he used to kind of be like, oh, I kind of drink here and there. And like, you know, when he was kind of like on the fence about drinking, people were a lot more like obsessed with it. They were like, just have another. And like, you know, and kind of like pushing it on him. But then, so I feel like if I'm like, no, I don't drink at all. It's like, it's same with like drugs, you know, people who like maybe don't even like drugs, but if they've tried it once and then they kind of will like dabble a bit more. It's, but if you're like,
it's kind of the floodgates. And like some people are just way better and strong-willed, like our friend Jack. Jack is so good at being like, even if he is like, sometimes if you're like, do you want another one? He's like, no, I'll have water. And like, but yeah, that is a
but he's never really gone into the whole kind of like exactly. drinking culture exactly. and drunk. So.
And I think it is like, you know, it's two, I think it's like from two sides. It can be the pressure thing, but I think it also is something that like, you know, with drinking or with any kind of like, if you are finding yourself getting to the point where you're like, I don't like and I don't want to drink anymore, I think cold turkey is the best way to go and then figure out where you stand with it. Because there's loads of people out there who can like go sober or whatever for like a year, 5, 10 years, and then like maybe be able to have like one glass here, yeah. one glass there. But it's like, I don't think you can just, it's like the analogy of like getting back with your ex and starting it slow. It's like, you've already gone, you already were married 10 years ago. So you've gone so far. So you're not, it's very hard to peel it back. You yeah. know, it's like you have to actually just break up, go cold turkey from them. And maybe mm-hmm. in 10 years, if they're still the one, honey, you can get back with them.
Totally.
But you can't like break up for a month and then be like, we're going to go back dating after having 6 children. It's like, yeah. not going to happen.
So that's where I was like with it, because I had tried the kind of like, I'll just have 3 drinks. But it was just like more so out of my control, because yeah. like people are just like, once you kind of say 3, then people are like, oh, just have another, it's fine. And then you're like, okay. And like, you know, once you've had 3 drinks, you're a little loosey goosey anyway. So it's kind of like, I just need it black or white to be able to like get what I want, which is to not get drunk, because I don't like getting drunk.
Yeah.
But I love the taste of alcohol. That's the problem with me. I don't drink to get drunk. I fucking love the taste of alcohol.
It's easy to replicate, and that's the best thing about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So I've been having my Frangente, which is like that fake Prosecco, Bulmer 0%. Like, and especially now in the past like few years with Dry January becoming way more popular, like when pubs are open, like there's always
And look, pubs
options
aren't going
to
be open anytime fucking soon.
So exactly. So I'm like, I'll get used to it now and then I'll be fucking grand. And I'm already used to it, because I think I've just, that quote that I kind of thought up in my head really just helped me, where it was like, I keep on serving myself something that doesn't serve me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just totally reductive. And I don't think, it's like, you know, when you're thinking about breaking up with someone and you're like, okay, I'll write out a pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pros.
Mm.
There's just not.
Mm.
You know, I can be like, oh, getting drunk with my friends is so fun. So is just hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
You know?
And also like, no one's meeting up and really getting drunk anymore. So it's like not even something that's like existing in reality. So it's not like you're like in the height of summer and it's festival season. You know, it's like we're in February. It's fucking lockdown.
Yeah.
There's nothing open. No one's meeting up and getting lit. So why even like, you know.
And even if like festivals do come, like sometimes when I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, like we push ourselves a lot of the time for like festivals. We're like, okay, I'll get lit for the fucking whole weekend so I can stay up. And then I'm like, why am I doing that? Yeah. I don't want to stay up before him.
No, never.
It's going to impact everything like for the coming week. So I think.
Especially
totally
the older
just
getting, Jesus Christ, I feel it for a month.
Oh, honey. Extract the kind of like, you know, like like the whole kind of like adoration as a nation that we have around drinking and drink mm-hmm. culture. And then like in this question, she's saying, I overshare, I'm this, I'm that. They're all bad things, regardless of the
yeah. And they're
fun.
Making you feel bad. It's like, and they're impacting, like, I think those are signs, like if you're noticing, and well done, like, you know, fair play to you for recognizing, because a lot of people don't recognize that. And a lot of people project those issues on the other people. Like they could be saying like, yeah, I overshare, but like you guys just never listen to me, or like
I'm drunk.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I'm horny. So what? I'm getting a guy over, or yeah, like you know, I'm fighting. It's like no, you've actually
you're
noticed.
So boring.
Yeah, you've noticed the common thread, mm-hmm. and like that is a self-aware and hard thing to do. If you're noticing all of the things that I'm doing that I don't like have alcohol in common, maybe it's the alcohol. You know what I mean? And maybe it's not, but take the alcohol out for a while and see.
Yeah, you know? And then see, and if these things are impacting your life, like, you know, you're getting with a guy, no, like, just, you wouldn't be doing that sober. You just wouldn't, you know?
And like everyone, and don't feel like, don't shame yourself, don't feel bad about it, because everyone reacts differently to alcohol and everyone has different, like, you know, tendencies towards like substances. Some mm-hmm. people it's smoking, some people it's exercise, some people it's alcohol, some people, you know, there's
loads of
you can literally abuse anything, and anything can be done to a point where it makes you feel bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not like your fault. Don't feel like, you know, it can feel maybe a bit FOMO that you're like, oh, how come fucking Sandra can have 3 glasses of wine and go home grand? It's like, that's her business. She might have her own fucking demons.
It's like
everyone
that same
has
skinny bitch who eats like Domino's every night. And you're like, well, it's
what's
like,
the point?
Oh,
in,
well.
Yeah, like what's the point in worrying about it? You know, mm-hmm. everyone fights their own demons behind closed doors. I truly do believe that. Whether it's, you know, bad or whether it, you know, they barely notice it. There's always some shit going on. So concentrating
and you're only
on
in control of yourself.
Exactly.
And if it's not serving you, then figure it out. So you can be happy.
Speaking of serving.
Oh, Go on.
Our last queen. Question is serving us some tea.
I'm obsessed with this question, girls. We're going to leave it on a lull note.
Yes, we've got about 10 minutes left, so we'll do this one brief because it's fucking iconic. My boyfriend really dislikes drag queens. I'm a super fan of RuPaul and used to love going to drag shows. I want him to appreciate it as an art form. I feel deep down it threatens his masculinity, question mark.
I love
He's positive
mark.
And accepting of my gay friends, but it's all negative vibes when I put the queens on Netflix.
Oh my goodness, girl, you are so funny. I am obsessed with this question. Oh, I saw this and I was like,
the two of us pissed ourselves.
That is amazing. That is so good. Now, can we just deconstruct this for a moment? Okay, so you're a super fan. He doesn't respect the queens. It's an art form and it's apparently affecting his masculinity.
But he's completely accepting and loving of all your friends who happen to be gay.
Yeah.
Honey, it's okay.
Okay.
Do you want to date a drag queen?
Yeah. And if so, go to the drag shows and like flirt with them. But I think this is where, okay. So a lot of the time we can think that our boyfriend has to be everything. We have to like the same things. We have to enjoy the same things. And you don't get me if you don't like my thing. Like,
yeah.
But there is such a beauty in your alone time and your secret time and your indulgent time of things that you love. Like I came back from my fellas yesterday and I watched all my YouTubes that
it's
I hadn't
so
watched
stunning.
In so long. And I was like, rrr. And I tried to put them on like when he was like fucking.
They always have something to fucking say.
I know, like as soon as you press play.
When you hear like, I put on like, I made the mistake of putting on like a Chris Clemens video around Evan today. And the look he gave me, he was like, who the fuck is that? And I'm like, okay, like, look, he's a guy, very open, very fluid
funny.
Sexuality.
Great style.
Brilliant style, middle clip, bam, bam, merch.
I know. But like, that's the thing where it's like, what did I turn on the other day? I can't remember. It was something like, it was, you know, Lisa from America's Next Top Model, who like went into like, you know, all these ex America's Next Top Model girls are coming out on their Instagram stories and being like, Tyra, apologize. You fucking ruined my fucking use, my trauma. And so I was like tapping away in the laptop. I was like, I just need to work for a while. So if you could just, I just need to work. Left the room and I was like, yes, fucking hell. Shoved on that. It was on Daily Mail and she was like, you fucking ruined my job. And he came back in and he was like, thought you were working. I was like, this is work, it's research.
Is there anything worse, right? When something is popping off in the WhatsApp group or on Daily Mail or like a cancellation and you're like, at your fella's mom's house, you're like, and you're seeing the voice notes coming. It's like 9 minutes, 14
oh
minutes.
My
you're like,
God. And you're like scooting up to the bathroom and you come back. They're like, did you do the shit? It's like,
yeah.
No, I don't
I'm
shit.
Like, I'm like up there on the phone like,
I know. Or right, you know what wrecks my head? People do not accept, and we're going off on a tangent, but like people do not accept the voice note to the ear. As soon as I click
oh
a voice
God,
note, put up to my
you.
Ear, they're like, so come here, are you thinking tacos? Or I was kind of thinking, actually, you know what? I was like,
you're like,
hello?
I'm listening to a voice.
My friend has quite a quiet voice. I'm pressing the thing up to my ear so I can fucking hear what she's saying. And you randomly decide to talk. Since when did a phone up to the ear mean you should
they
talk
don't
to
do
me?
It with AirPods either. Like, everyone will fully see me put my AirPods in. He's
oh,
like, and he's like, Jenny, I'm like, I've literally just
taking
the
one out, and
yeah.
You're like,
I'm
yes,
like, yeah, and then he's like, what is?
Did you see that? Actually, it's gas. A friend of mine. You're like,
or he's like, do you know where my socks are? I'm like, that's what's pressing. Did you like, realize that me and my friends are deconstructing Miley Cyrus's new tiny house?
tiny desk. Have you seen it? It's good.
I haven't watched it, but it looks unreal.
It looks.
Ooh, we should watch it. We should watch it after.
Random.
But anyway, yes, you don't like have to. Like, I understand that you are passionate, and look, honey, I know how it is when you get into fucking RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, it is like everything. It's a whole community. I'm sure it's like becoming obsessed with It Girls. It's like you're like, how did I discover this now? And there's this community. There's all these in jokes. There's so much shit. What you need to do is discover Reddit. You need to go on Reddit and you need to indulge in the Reddit threads of RuPaul's Drag Race. First go on the regular RuPaul's Drag Race. You'll cream yourself over that. Then you can move over to the cooler Reddit threads, which are like RuPaul's Drag Race cringe, where they show all the cringe shit. Like,
you gotta teach me your Reddit ways because I wanna look at this Marilyn Manson shit.
Oh, Reddit is like my all-time favorite like website. It's just, oh, it's so good. But anyway, and then there's like, you know, then there's like there's RuPaul Drag Race spoilers where like they get all the spoilers for the new season. Like, it's great. And this is what you need to do when you have like a super fan inclination and no one you like, because that happens to me all the time. So much shit that I like, none of my friends like, but I can't force them to like it. So what I do is I just find a community online and like, I'm not even commenting. I'm just reading, because then I'm like, I agree with them. I'll upvote, downvote.
Oh, I do that in Daily Mail.
I'll upvote, downvote.
I love an upvote, downvote.
I'm like, nope.
I love an upvote, downvote. Oh, they are just so fun.
So much power.
Especially when you see one that has loads of downs.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'm upping that.
Yeah. And like, look, sometimes with your boyfriend, it can be fun that like, they do randomly get, like, I'm really into H3 podcasts. So like the odd time I'll, if Evan's like working, because his desk is in our front room at the moment. And like, if he's working on that, I'll throw on H3, because I'm like, it's kind of like gender neutral content. You know, there's one guy, there's one girl.
They're together.
They're talking about, it's a lot of it is kind of bro.
They're married, are they?
They're married, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of it's kind of like, it's like internet-y. You don't have to like know exactly what they're talking about to find it funny. And he's kind of gotten into that. But there's some shit that I'll turn on. He's like, he literally be like, turn that fucking off. He hates, what's his most hated thing that he hates? Oh, it actually is Drag Race.
Really?
He goes, RuPaul's voice goes through my head. He's like, I actually don't mind the queens. So he's a little bit more accepting of the queens. But I think because also Ev has like judged drag queen competitions in like the dragon.
But as well, he's like in a kind of, like he's surrounded by like females in his work. And so it would be a bit more like, I mean.
He's known loads of, I see a lot of the drag queens in Dublin were makeup artists. So he knows them all.
Yeah.
But
now I don't like, I tried to watch it. Now I, again, with some, you know, I'm very much like, I'm not a big watcher.
Yeah.
Of things. So like, you know, when I kind of, and everyone's gone on about it, and I was like 10 years too late, I'm like, I might switch it on. And
it
then
is
like,
one of those
I'm
things.
Too, like, I'm too late, I don't think to the party. I would.
Yeah. It's one of those things you kind of had to get into. Like, I'd say, like, what year is it? 2021. Whoa, that's so far into the 2000s. I'm just realizing how fucking far it is. Actually. Big mouthful of a word. But yeah, like 2013, 12, 14. Yeah. Like if you got into it then, yeah. But like now it's like, it's kind of hard to get into it now. It's gone so mainstream, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, but as well, it's like there is something so beautiful, especially in a relationship. I remember, you know, that episode of Sex and the City when they call it their secret single behavior.
Yeah.
Which is just like, your shit that you do when you're
we
just
we have an
really
episode on it.
Do we?
We have an episode about secret single behavior. You guys should go look for it.
Okay.
Because we talk about all the things. This girl should listen to it.
Yeah.
Because we talk about all the things we'd love to do when we're not with our boyfriend.
Yeah, and it's such a lovely thing. And it's like, you know that feeling when like, they're like, oh fuck, I have to work early in the morning. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, like before Christmas,
and
Evan
you hear
was working
the door
so
clack.
Much. Oh, Evan would literally.
I actually orgasm.
Oh, Evan would
get the
up.
Fucking laptop.
He'd get up at like 6 and come home at like 8:30. It was like, and then lockdown happened. I was like, so all of January you'll be here, is it? He's like, yeah. I'm like,
oh, I'm just gonna go into the room.
Would you take up running again?
I know. It's like there's
maybe train for a marathon.
And it's just like, and as well, when you like, even with friends, like even, you know, it exists in friendships too. Even when you like find something like some blogger or some YouTuber, you're like, she's so cool, girl,
totally.
girlies, you're gonna love her. She's really cool. She's great style and very inspiring. And they're like, oh, I know she's cool. You're like, no, really. It's like, just like your things.
Yeah.
And sometimes like I can be like that. I'm like, this song, this fucking album, man, listen to it. But like they're like, oh, it's a good album. I'm like, no. Do you know the background of what? It's like, okay, you can enjoy something. You don't need everyone else to be like as into it. And that doesn't make it more enjoyable.
Yeah.
This thing, you know, it's happened with us sometimes before. We're like, this band. Jenny, listen to the band. And then you're like, I love the band. Actually, I really got really into them. I'm like, just don't forget who told you about the band.
Make sure every time you talk about the band that you openly say that I introduced you to
it. It is my band. That's my band that I
found. Like, but I'm more into the band now. It's like, but I found the band.
Yeah, but that's my band. So, enjoy your own shit.
Enjoy your own shit. And also just don't make it political about him threatening his masculinity. At the end of the day, yes, there are some men out there, and I've known lots of straight men who fucking love RuPaul's Drag Race. And dear God, it's gas. And it must be great to be able to watch those things with him. But like, just if he's, if the guy isn't casually dropping the F-bomb and making gay slurs 24/7.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not hanging around with that fucking gay mate.
Homos, no way. Like, that's, a problem. And that probably is affecting his masculinity. He's cool with your gay friends. He probably just doesn't like the show. The show is 100% made for gay men and straight women.
I don't like the show. Does that mean it's threatening my masculinity?
Exactly. It's just like, it's a very acquired taste of a show. Mm-hmm. It is an acquired taste. But like, would you sit down and watch reruns of Top Gear with them? I wouldn't. Exactly. I fucking hate that show.
And do you want to get into that shit? Because if he's like, fine, I'll sit down and watch it. Oh, okay, I enjoy it slightly. And now we're both watching it. Then he's going to be like, so there's this really harrowing documentary on abuse in the Catholic Church that I really want to look at. Do you want to sit down? You're like, oh, I don't want to.
It's just enjoy it yourself. Let him watch whatever the fuck he... Like, it's nice to have a bit of separate time. And don't... Nothing worse than someone who's trying to force you to like something.
And of course, it is an art form. I love Tracy Emin. And like, you know, I've been like, would you ever think about like looking at Tracy Emin and buying her art? And they're like, what? It's a fucking splayed leg with a period coming out. I'm like, it's an art form. You know, it's like, you can like, art is so like so individual and personal.
Personal.
So like, it's beautiful that you have this love for it and that you enjoy it and that you see it as an art form and that it like gives something so much to your life. But let him have his own shit. Because remember last Q&A where we had the gal who was talking about her boyfriend who was like copying everything. RuPaul.
He was simping.
I love that band. Yeah.
Like, you don't want your boyfriend to be a simp. Like, at least your boyfriend, like, it's an attractive quality that your boyfriend's like, I don't like the thing that you like. Because that shows he's confident in his own interests.
Yeah. But just also, it's cool to have separate time.
Absolutely.
That's fucking that's difficult, especially if you're living with someone and like you're both like, let's watch TV tonight. And they're like, I want to watch. Like, fucking go into the bedroom. Be like, look, you watch whatever.
Mm.
Or like,
I've done it. I'm like, there's a new episode of like fucking Real Housewives.
That needs to be normalized.
Normalized.
That you don't need to. Because I think we grew up with like, I grew up with my mum and dad sat every night watching the same show.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't do it most of the time, but there's just sometimes where I'm like, honey, if you think I'm missing this reunion.
Yeah.
So if I don't watch it now, I won't fucking have to watch it. But anyway, girls, thanks so much for all the questions. It was a great old ep, and we'll be back next week with more juice for y'all.
Yes, queen.
Bye, guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.